So Thomas More was a brilliant lawyer and diplomat in the 16th century. He lived in England, and his patriotism and loyalty to the throne attracted the attention of King Henry VIII, who would make him Lord Chancellor of England. What Henry VIII did not know, though, was that Thomas More's first loyalty was to Christ, the King of Kings. When Henry VIII decided to divorce his wife, Catherine of Aragon, and marry Anne Boleyn, and then make himself the head of the Church of England, More knew this was wrong. Rather than approve what he believed to be against the will of God, he resigned from his prestigious, wealthy position as Lord Chancellor and lived a life of poverty with his family. Since he would not give his support to the king, Thomas More was arrested, convicted of treason, imprisoned in the Tower of London, and eventually he was beheaded in July of the following year. Now, on his way to public execution, More encouraged the people to remain steadfast in the faith. His last recorded words were, "I die the king's good servant, but God's first." For More, it was not simply enough to confess Christ privately in the safety of his heart and home. He recognized one must also confess Christ in one's business and professional life as well, as in the laws and policies that govern society. Today we celebrate the Solemnity of Christ the King. This feast is actually relatively new. It was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925. Now, it's important to understand the context of this feast. In 1925, the world seemed to almost be in shambles, and World War I had ended a few years prior, but widespread peace and tranquility were still not evident. The war to end all wars had been devastating to Europe. Additionally, the Russian Revolution had created great upheaval in Russia, and as we know, brought immense suffering at the time. Fascism, Nazism, and communism were growing. In their distress and searching for hope, people clung to anyone who could offer them seeming hope. They gravitated to the emerging dictators of Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin. These regimes saw the basics of morality and the teachings of the Catholic Church to be out of date, no longer relevant in the 20th century. Quote-unquote modern thinking allowed that, at most, Christ must be king in the private life of the individual, but certainly not in the public world. As nations were being reborn and governments restructured, their foundations, policies, and laws were often being fashioned without regard to Christian principles. And so it is in this context that Pope Pius XI established the Feast of Christ the King. The Pope saw that people were denying Christ in favor of a lifestyle dominated by secularism, material advantage, and a false hope created by their government leaders. He knew, as everyone who has a true friendship with God does, that good order in society and fulfillment was only possible through Christ and his way. But the world was used to Christ, so used to him that they were bored of the demands of his gospel. Interestingly, though, by not listening to his gospel was what had gotten them into this mess in the first place. The Pope was saying that the kingdom of Christ had to be reaffirmed, and society had to return to this loving Savior. When he established this feast, he wrote, quote, "When once men recognize, both in private and in public life, that Christ is king, society will at last receive the great blessings of real liberty, well-ordered discipline, peace, and harmony." This feast, then, reminds us of our need to let Christ be the true king of our society, as well as of our hearts. All aspects of our lives should be guided by this reality. Now, we're close, it's hard to believe, to 100 years since the establishment of this day, and the world still has not accepted the reign of Christ. In fact, I think it can easily be argued that we're in a much worse place than the state of things in 1925, we all are called, more than ever, to help spread and affirm that Christ must be the King of our hearts, our minds, and our lives, to help the world see that it needs to recognize Christ as its King more than ever if we want there to be lasting peace. And otherwise, we're just going to keep going from conflict to conflict. But how does this reign of Christ look like in our lives, practically speaking? And how do we enact or spread the kingdom of Christ in our modern day? Well, we can often forget that Christ gives us a share in his kingly role. Right, through our baptisms, we share in Christ's office of priest, prophet, and king. Christ's kingly role is one of governing and service. Therefore, we share his role through our governing and service of others. And the greatest way we serve in this role is by helping to extend his kingdom, to make sure his kingdom is present in our homes, and from there into society. Right? For example, families are to be centered around Christ the King. When we walk into our homes, it should be known that this is a home centered first and foremost in the Lord, and not in things of the world. Right? It's got to be apparent to visitors that Christ is King of our home. Right? Do we display pictures of Christ? Do we have crucifixes in our homes to identify the one who died so that we may live? Exterior signs help to remind us and others of interior truths. Christ the King must be the one we turn to for help. Spouses need to pray together. Families should pray together every day. When we have to make big decisions, we must turn to Christ for guidance. May that help us to extend his kingdom deeper into our lives. If Christ is reigning in our home, we will naturally be a witness to others of his kingdom of love, peace, justice, and truth. We'll want to serve others so as to be Christ to them, as well as to encounter the hidden Christ in them, as the gospel relates. Right? It is in family life that Christ's kingdom must be cultivated and defended. I mean, after all, an assault against the family is an assault against Christ. Secular society attacks the family now by encouraging the slaughter of the unborn. Right? It attacks the family through provocative TV shows, movies, music, and easy access to pornography. It eradicates any recognition of God from public display in public schools. It promotes attacks on the dignity of the human person and family life by advocating false gender ideologies. When the human person and family are attacked, it's ultimately Christ who is being attacked. Hence, Christ the King needs convincing apostles who are prepared and ready to spiritually fight against these enemies. First, by prayer, and by accepting willingly the sufferings that come our way when we stand up for Christ. We must respond by living lives of loving, humble service, using our gifts generously for all, especially to the least among us. The battlefield to defend Christ's kingdom is the heart, the home, the school, the place of employment, the neighborhood, as well as the parish. To ensure that Jesus is always the King of our hearts, we need to make a permanent, total commitment to him, and to live out that commitment with the necessary sacrifices, conviction, hard work, and daily, serious prayer. We have to know who we are in relation to Christ. He is King over all of us. He knows us well, and he wants us to be fulfilled in him. Ultimately, everyone should know that we are Catholic because our lives should point to Christ. And that's the greatest and simplest way we can help extend the kingdom. The question for us remains, how can we bring about the kingdom of Christ more in our lives, our families, our workplaces? How can we be an instrument of Christ to bring others to him? How can we extend his kingdom through our families? At times, it's going to require sacrifice and courage. It took incredible courage for St. Thomas More to stand up to Henry VIII. But he did so because Christ was his true king. We all can look around in our lives and families and see where we might be falling short in living a Christ-centered life. Yet as long as we're breathing, it's never too late to recommit to spreading his kingdom of truth and mercy. Christ must be the King of our hearts and lives, And it all begins with a daily yes to our Lord. And so on this Christ the King Sunday 2024, we must ask ourselves, what can I do in order to extend Christ's kingdom more in my everyday life? Amen.